Hello everyone, thank you for joining us. In today's top story, Israel presses ahead with this war of genocide on the besieged Gaza Strip, killing more Palestinians and reducing larger numbers of residential buildings to rubble. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza says the death toll from the regime strikes that began on October the 7th has surpassed 7,000. The ministry has also released a list of almost 6,800 names of Gazans who have lost their lives in Israel's deadly raids. The list provides the sex, age and identity card number of each victim. The ministry said 281 bodies have not yet been identified.
We have decided to announce the details of the names to the whole world so that the truth is known about the genocide perpetrated by the Israeli occupation against our people.
The ministry also rebuked U.S. President Joe Biden for saying that he had no confidence in the death toll given by the Palestinians. He said the U.S. has brazenly cast doubt on the truth. Meanwhile, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has said almost 50 Israeli captives held in Gaza have been killed in the regime's raids. There were amongst more than 200 who were taken captive by the resistance group following Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, which was conducted inside Israel earlier this month. Since then, the military wing of Hamas has been carrying out retaliatory operations against Israel in response to its deadly onslaught. Tel Aviv and an Israeli military site near Gaza have been hit in the latest reprisal attacks by the Al-Qassam Brigade. Over 1,400 Israelis have been killed since Hamas conducted its military operation. The head of the political bureau of the Hamas resistance movement has warned that if Israel's aggression against the Gaza Strip continues, the situation in the entire region will spin out of control. Speaking in a televised speech, Ismail Haniyeh said, on the 20th day of the war, the resistance is in good condition and doing well. He called on the Arab and Muslim nations and all free people of the world to support the resistance. Haniyeh added that the occupying regime will not be able to recover from the strategic strike and resounding defeat it has suffered. He called for international pressure on Israel to stop what he described as a new Holocaust against the Palestinian nation. The Hamas chief asked all free people of the world to demonstrate this Friday in support of Gaza. He also called for the opening of all Gaza crossings, especially the Rafah crossing, and the entry of everything that people need without restrictions or conditions. Haniyeh said the time has passed when the Israeli regime controlled Gaza, its people, or the region. A member of the Hamas political bureau, Ghazi Hamad, has spoken about the latest developments in Gaza. He says the first priority of the resistance is to stop Israel's incessant bombardment of the people living in the Palestinian territories. Let's take a listen.
In our strategy now, first of all, to stop the aggression of our people in Gaza Strip and allow for the humanitarian assistance to enter Gaza. And I think after that, I think we need more political investment for what happened after 7 October, because I think it to get the attention of the world to the tragedy of the Palestinian people, that people deserve state, deserve freedom, deserve independence. So I think that they should focus in the issue of the occupation, that it must be ended, and very soon.
The humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip continues to deepen due to a total siege imposed on the Palestinian territory by the Israeli regime since October the 7th. The executive director of the World Food Programme has warned that overly stringent checks on trucks at the Rafah crossing from Egypt into Gaza are slowing the flow of humanitarian aid to a dribble. Cindy McCain said safe and unfettered access into Gaza is needed to feed its people and make sure they don't starve to death. She added that the WFP needs to raise $100 million to feed over 1 million people in Gaza to the end of this year. The UN humanitarian chief also warned that aid is barely trickling into Gaza. Martin Griffiths said the world is failing to meet the bare entitlements of a part of humanity. The European Union's leaders have also called for humanitarian corridors and pauses in Israel's war to get aid into Gaza. That's while hospitals in the Gaza Strip are struggling to treat the injured as Israel bars any fuel from reaching the territory to run power generators. The UN agency providing aid to Palestinian civilians in Gaza has warned that it may have to shut down its operations shortly if no fuel enters the besieged territory. UNRWA added that fuel stocks are almost completely exhausted forcing life-saving services to come to a halt. It also likened the situation in Gaza to, quote, hell on earth, criticizing the international community for not having the courage to act decisively and stop the Israeli war. Physicians at Gaza hospitals have also raised the alarm about lack of fuel.
We have been experiencing a severe shortage of capabilities in all departments and hospitals since before this war began, and medical equipment and supplies are in short supply at the Ministry of Health. However, days after this aggression, our stock is barely sufficient to meet the necessities of these patients, putting their lives at risk. The lack of fuel poses another critical threat to the lives of hundreds of patients in care departments, as it negatively affects the uninterruptible electricity. And we are forced to minimize the mechanical ventilators in the unit.
Meanwhile, a British-Palestinian surgeon working with medical aid for Palestinians in Gaza also warned that the Shifa hospital will soon run out of fuel for its generators. Ghassan Abu Sita said the UN has a major fuel depot in Rafah in the south of Gaza. He, however, said Israel is threatening to attack convoys that would attempt to transport fuel supplies. Iran's foreign minister says Israel is committing war crimes and genocide against Palestinians by deliberately targeting residential buildings, hospitals, mosques and churches in Gaza. Addressing the UN General Assembly meeting, Hossein Amir Abdullahian also said the US is directly participating in the war on Gaza and had this warning for them.
Mr. President, the history of Iranian civilization shows that we have always supported peace and security. But today in New York and the United Nations, I say frankly to the American statesmen who are now managing the genocide in Palestine that we do not welcome to expansion of the war in the region. But I warn, if the genocide in Gaza continues, they will not be spared from this fire. It is our home, and West Asia is our region.
Amir Abdullahian added that Iran will never compromise on the security of West Asia. He said according to negotiations Iran has been holding, Hamas is ready to release the civilian captives it took from Israel. However, Amir Abdullahian also called for global support for the release of 6,000 Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails. The top Iranian diplomat also described the recent Palestinian operation against Israel, dubbed Al-Aqsa Flood, as legitimate and, in his words, the volcanic eruption of Palestinian anger against 75 years of Israeli crimes and occupation.
To the principles and rules of the international law and hundreds of resolutions of this very same assembly, the Palestinian nation, as a nation under occupation, has the legitimate right to resist the occupation using all available methods, including armed struggle. Therefore, the recent hypocritical efforts to introduce the struggle of the Palestinian nation against the occupiers as terrorist actions will not deceive the free nations and the awakened consciences of the world.
Amir Abdullahian said the U.S. is the main obstacle to the upholding of Palestinians' rights in the U.N. Security Council. He said the issue of Palestine can only be resolved if Palestinians' right to self-determination is fully realized and an independent Palestinian state established in all of the Palestinian territories with Al-Quds as its capital. Amir Abdullahian underscored Iran's proposal for a referendum for self-determination amongst the original residents of Palestine, including Muslims, Jews, and Christians. The Iranian foreign minister said the current developments in Palestine show that normalization of ties with Israel is tantamount to ignoring Palestinians' rights and is doomed to failure. Pro-Palestinian rallies in solidarity with the people of Gaza continue across the globe as Israel's brutal aggression enters its 21st day. Thousands of demonstrators took to the streets in Montreal, Madrid and Beirut to condemn the regime's massacre of Palestinians in the besieged territory. Gaza! 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 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah also demonstrated in support of the people of Gaza. In Argentina's capital, Buenos Aires, thousands marched on the Israeli embassy to denounce the regime's brutality. Thousands of Indians in the southern city of Kozhikode voiced their support for the Palestinian cause. In Brussels, pro-Palestinian protesters gathered outside the venue of an EU summit urging a halt to Israel's bombing campaign. In Spain, thousands of students thronged the streets of Barcelona, accusing Israel of committing genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
As the Israeli regime's onslaught on Gaza continues, protests in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, have not diminished. Words of solidarity and chants are the only weapon people here have to express their anger. But Beirut is not only condemning Israeli crimes, but also remembering those killed in the Israeli targeting of civilians. Abdulrahman al-Hassani, also known as Abid, Palestinian living and working in Lebanon, lost 10 members of his family in one night as a result of the Israeli shelling.
This blood that has been shed is a gift to every free person in the world so we can all live with dignity. No matter how far this enemy goes with its killing, we must live freely and honorably and take the path which has been lit for us by the martyrs. This blood of the children, women, elderly and youth is the most precious thing we have to give in order to see Palestine, which yearns for life and freedom without an oppressive occupier.
His friends, who were heartbroken and came to give their condolences, were stunned with how he greeted them with a smile on his face.
As you can see, the smile doesn't leave his face. He's happy for his family because they believe this is what they've been raised to do until they achieve liberation. But at the same time, this should expose what the barbaric actions of the Israelis happening in Gaza. We believe that we are all in this together.
Actually, no words are enough to deliver what we feel toward the massacre that happens, and also towards the smile that Abdulrahman is really expressing. All his family members are martyrs, and this is such a big thing. But it is so normal for the Gaza people, for the Palestinian people, who are day after day standing, resisting this criminal, Israel.
They know that this is the price that they have paid, that they have to pay for liberation of their land. And he just lost 10 members of his family, including his sister. I mean, he had this very beautiful relationship with his sister, and she has a beautiful daughter. She's 2 years old. Her name is Ward, and he just lost her. And it's been a long time since he last see them.
But you can see a lot of resilience. You can still see a lot of patience. God has given him so much patience. I have no idea how he's been able to go through all of that.
In addition to his uncle and brother, who were leaders in the Palestinian resistance, at least 5 children were killed during this massacre, which is one of the many taking place in Gaza amid international silence. Abed's family is one of many in Gaza that are willing to give their lives for the sake of their homeland. While the Israeli atrocities have led to global condemnation on the barbaric nature of the regime's practices, yet Palestinian people believe that their sacrifices is a necessary step on the path to liberation. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
The U.S. Defense Department says military bases hosting American forces in Iraq and Syria have been attacked at least 16 times this month. The remarkable rise in attacks came amid an upsurge in regional nations' outrage against U.S. support for Israel's bloody onslaught on the Gaza Strip. The Pentagon said the latest attack happened in Iraq's northern Kurdistan region on Thursday. It added that the assaults were carried out using a combination of one-way attack drones and rockets. The Pentagon also confirmed that 19 American service members stationed in Iraq and Syria have been diagnosed with traumatic brain injury following the attacks. The U.S. maintains some 2,500 troops in Iraq and 900 more in Syria under the pretext of fighting terrorism. Washington has deployed additional troops and military equipment to the region following Israel's war of aggression against Gaza since October the 7th. Resistance groups warned Washington against supporting Israel's ongoing bloodshed. Those were the top stories for this hour. Thank you for being with us. Take care for now.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
The willingness of the U.S. media to partake in the Zionist regime disinformation big lie is not a new thing. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, "If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it." This quote was attributed to Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi chief propagandist. Today, Goebbels would envy the Zionist regime's disinformation prowess of employing Western media to willingly market Israeli big lie. Claims of decapitated Israeli children persistently echoed across CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, and other Western media outlets, perpetuating the big lie that eventually became a believable story. The U.S. president even went as far as claiming to have seen non-existing images of decapitated Israeli children. Additionally, Western media propagated other Israeli falsehoods, including allegations of women being raped during the Hamas raid. Curiously, not a single woman came forward to support these claims. In reality, one woman who did speak on Israeli TV described respectful treatment by Hamas resistance fighters. Her accounts, however, went unnoticed by Western media since it contradicted the big lie gambit. NBC and MSNBC joined the big lie when they flaunted a supposed NBC exclusive of a top-secret document, ostensibly detailing Hamas plans to target elementary schools and youth centers. Note the connotation. Elementary schools, implying, of course, targeting children. The Arabic language document was given to NBC by the Zionist regime army. It is perplexing how NBC missed the glaring inconsistencies in the big lie before disseminating it across all MSNBC news shows. One obvious oversight was that the attack on the post guarding the largest open-air prison occurred when schools were not in session. It was on Saturday. Even if schools weren't on holiday, the attack started at dawn, when schools and youth centers would typically be closed. The exclusive news and the top secret big lie were repeated by all MSNBC news shows and picked up by a carousel of American and European news outlets. This could explain why MSNBC show hosts, personalities such as Ayman and Mehdi Hassan, the most knowledgeable of the region and who could challenge false information, were absent from their weekend shows and replaced by tabloid news performers. Sadly, American cable news networks abandoned their ethical journalistic responsibility when they became an arm of the Zionist regime Hasbara and an extension to the Zionist regime's Sinim network. It is undeniable Israelis lost their lives as they were caught in the middle of the fight. This is mainly because the Zionist regime uses its population as a human shield by encouraging civilians through tax breaks and other financial incentives to live in areas known as war zones. Furthermore, each of the Zionist-only settlements that came under attack was located next to a known military base, placing them within the immediate combat area. Regarding the music festival, the event was held next to Re'im, Israeli regime military base on the Gaza border. Re'im military camp and its nearby settlement by the same name was another post guarding the siege on Gaza. Following Hamas' successful raid on the fortified military base, the Zionist regime troops abandoned their positions, guns and uniforms, and fled half-naked to hide among festival-goers and into the nearby Re'im settlement. It's very likely that fighters were not aware of a music event in a war theater, and likewise, it was plausible as they chased Zionist regime troops. They could have reasonably suspected the large gathering of young men and women, as military conscripts and associated their presence with the business of the military base. In other words, they were caught in fire. Like the ones in the nearby settlements who were used as human shields by the fleeing Zionist regime troops. Meanwhile, much have been said and written that the success of Hamas' military operation was the result of an Israeli regime intelligence failure. Media security pundits, however, failed to connect the raid within the broader context of the Palestine conflict, not only when an Israeli is killed. Hamas' success was not solely an Israeli regime intelligence failure, as suggested by the media pundits. Rather, it can be attributed to the long-standing suffering of 2.3 million people in Gaza, who for 18 years yearned for the day they could break free from their confinement. This determination and ingenuity took the world by surprise, even baffling the best military planners. Another factor is the Zionist regime arrogance. Empowered by international impunity, Benjamin Netanyahu belongs to the Zionist school of thought, believing that the more Palestinians are suppressed, the less there is need to talk about peace. despite some of the obvious signs, the Prime Minister didn't believe that the people who he came to believe are less than his chosen race would be capable of breaking the jail and overcoming the jailer's posts. Having stated that the Zionist regime officials are united in dehumanizing the Palestinians to justify their inhumanity, throughout human history, dehumanization was always a prerequisite to carrying out genocidal wars and oppression. We saw that during slavery, stealing the land of aboriginals. In this case, and to prepare for the onslaught on Gaza, the Zionist regime war minister announced several inhumane punitive measures against the Palestinians, such as cutting off water, food, and fuel. To justify the Zionist regime's savagery, he declared, "We are fighting human animals and we act accordingly." Alas, it's very unlikely the international community would have tolerated the slaughtering of animals, as they have allowed the Zionist regime to blow Palestinian children to smithereens. Meanwhile, the so-called moderate Zionist regime president dismissed a question from a journalist regarding the death of civilians in Gaza, where he suggested that civilians in Gaza are legitimate military targets, saying, "It is an entire nation out there that is responsible."
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. This is IRAB English Radio. I'm Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister. And
welcome. Assalam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Well, women have got too much of things to take care of. One of those very dear things are their bodies. And then since there is media, and then since there is a propaganda working so hard for women to get into some unwanted, unnecessary stories, then there comes too much of problem in the way of this loving that women have toward their bodies. The thing is that for a special time, for a special period of time, as in for 50 years, they try to advertise upon the very fact that skinny woman, this is the criteria, so go for it. And then all the women, since they want to be the best of all in this world, they would go for it. Then after a special time, they come and say curly hair is the most beautiful hair ever. All the women then go for the curly hair. And then again, you know, that works like a circle. Whatever the propaganda, the people who are working behind the curtains would decide for me what is beautiful and what is the criteria. What you should put on the pedestal as your model and what you shouldn't. As in, for example, if a woman is a fat woman or a little bit of a chubby girl, then she would feel like depressed because in a competition, she feels herself like she's entering a competition that has got no good end for her. You know what I mean? So this is a problem that right now we as ladies are suffering from in society.
The trend of body perfectionism or body idealism has had a detrimental impact on women. leading her to body dissatisfaction, severe kind of dieting.
Even hate herself.
Even the development of eating disorders such as bulimia. You know, one of the major factors, as you already mentioned, that contributes to this phenomenon is the media. Women are bombarded with unrealistic, I would repeat, unrealistic beauty standards that are portrayed by the media, because they often portray a narrow definition of what is beauty. These images and these messages have created an environment where women feel pressured to conform to these standards, leading to a deep-seated dislike for their own bodies. You know, I just had was looking at a post of my friend yesterday. She is a little chubby, and she's a mother now, and maybe she's much more chubby. But she had written a very beautiful post. She had written that unlike other women to go for body image and, you know, body perfectionism and body idealism, I look at the mirror and I'm proud of seeing a mom who has given birth to a baby and is much more ahead than those women who
the
are looking for
the worst within.
Right. So I see this mom and I am proud because she wakes up at night. She takes care of her children. She takes care of everyone around.
And exactly.
She experiences that motherhood. I'm proud to see her in the mirror as a chubby woman and, you know, not having that ideal body that the media is portraying.
You know what, sister? Let's get something straight from the very beginning. There is something, a truth. I'm a woman and I care for my body. It's so dear for me. Okay?
At the same time, it's very important to understand that Islam is not against it.
Exactly.
It's not against it. Like we have a verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and he likes beauty, but not a narrow definition of beauty.
Exactly. Not a narrow one. Like, as in, it's important to be in shape, but it's not important for everyone to be skinny.
It's not, I would say, obligatory.
Yeah, it's not an obligation. It's a choice, you know. This is your body. And you try to be the same as you would like yourself to be, not the same as what society wants you to be, not the same as the perfect picture the men of your society want you to be.
Right. Because this relentless pursuit of a perfect body, it leads women to adopt so many severe, you know, diet regimes.
Exactly, yeah.
And they manage to
go
to extreme dieting.
She would hurt herself.
Exactly. They manage to go for extreme dieting. They restrict their food intake. And they, you know, take themselves to dangerous levels.
Without going for a break, you know. They do that even without going for a break. But right now, we have to go for a short break. So don't go anywhere. Is so dear to a woman, she takes care of it, but it's not all that she has. She has a heart and she has a brain. The way she thinks and the way she improves herself are more beautiful than what she looks like. So the heart of a lady is much more important than the body of a lady. Yes, you're still listening to Muslim Lady. This is IRB English Radio. I'm Asma, and Sister Zainab is telling us about this body image and this perfectionism that we have toward our bodies.
Right. So we're talking about this pursuit of, you know, perfect body.
Never-ending pursuit, let's say.
Yeah. That has actually led women towards the severe depression because they have to go for extreme dieting. They have to restrict what they are eating.
Exactly.
They have to,
and the question is, you know, the question is, who are these people to decide what picture is the perfect picture for a woman to look like?
Seriously. And this obsessive focus on weight and appearance has got so many severe consequences for her both physical and mental well-being.
Exactly.
Again, as we say, if she educated herself on that note, she would do the contrary. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about the consequences of not having dinner, you know, eat dinner even if it's a handful of dates, because leaving it makes a person old. Now, you never know. You're skipping dinner to look younger.
Exactly.
But our traditions say, our narrations say that
you're destroying yourself.
You're actually making yourself get older earlier.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that too, because of that additional mental pressure that you have. I have to have a perfect, you know, look, a perfect body and all that. Also, Imam Ali alayhi salam, about when the he was asked, when what was the time? He even tells us the time. When would the prophets have dinner? Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the prophets would eat dinner after the darkness of night would, you know, kind of start.
Exactly.
And don't skip this time because it will destroy your body again. Mm-hmm. So we are actually told how to keep that perfect body. By not skipping what you're eating, by giving that perfect timetable,
exactly.
When to eat, what to eat, how to eat. Also, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, do not skip eating dinner, even if it's 3 bites of bread with salt. Whoever leaves dinner, a vein in his body dies that will never come back to life.
Yeah.
If we know about these consequences.
Guys, this is so important. As ladies, you have to keep this in mind.
Seriously, if we knew about these devastating consequences, we would have not gone for those severe dieting kind of things.
I actually don't say that it's bad to take care of what you eat or going through a diet. It's not bad. But what is important is that you shouldn't overdo it in a way that it would lead you to a sick, diseased person.
Yeah, it's not only like you're skipping eating and you're not eating your dinner or lunch.
At least consult a person who's professional.
There are some behaviors today. You're forced to go for vomiting, go for excessive exercising.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not permitted. You're not, you know, you should not be allowing your body to do more work than it's supposed to, because you'll be questioned tomorrow. Your
exactly.
body in your hands.
What have you
is
done
amana.
To your body?
Because it's amana. It's a trust with us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's our soul we have to nourish and decide through our, you know, soul and mental capabilities how to behave with this body, how to behave with this trust of Allah. I am answerable for each and every single thing that I'm going to do in this world. You have eating disorders. And
also there is anorexia, not having this appetite for eating any food. And then that would lead into... Even there are some movies about that. This girl who's suffering from anorexia, she's about to die just because she has entered a diet that was so harmful for her body. And we could see that a lot among girls nowadays. So let's go for a short break and then we'll be back with some more.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. This is the last part of today's episode. Well, Sister Zainab and I were talking about different issues regarding this perfect image of women that we wish to have. And then we said that, okay, these people who create this image for me and they tell me that you have to imitate these guys, who are they to set the criteria for me? Isn't it against my freedom? Isn't it against my rights?
Right.
So I'm beautiful the way I am. Nobody else in this world would look like me. And I don't like to look like other people.
Right.
This uniqueness is more beautiful than being all the same, having the same shapes, having the same pictures, having the same, I don't know, hairstyle, whatever.
But at the same time, we have narrations where we are asked not to have excessive amount of food. when we say don't skip the food, we don't mean to say do have excessive amount of food.
Yeah.
Moderation is very necessary.
Exactly. We said it. We're not against being in shape. We're not against staying young, taking care of your body. But
you could go for a lot of narrations that talk about exercising. You could go for even Ayatollah Khamenei. You know, I was in a gym and I was amazed to see all around the posters about his statements, how important he considers exercising for women. So, you know,
exactly.
It gave me a feeling of that upliftment and that freedom. Oh, wow, like women are treated this way in a particular country.
The thing which
is
important is that this dieting thing, this style of life that you should take care of every single thing you eat, or you put yourself in a pressure that, okay, I shouldn't get overweight, it must be your choice. It shouldn't be imposed on you. And then practicing to be like everybody else around as if you're in a competition, this is not a desired thing.
Right. You know, the problem is here that instead of striving for an unattainable ideal, we should focus on nourishing our bodies with wholesome nutrients,
exactly.
The nutritious foods, or engage in the physical activity, as I'm telling you, for exercising, or maintain a balanced lifestyle. That's more important. And also celebrate your achievements, celebrate your diversity, celebrate your inner qualities and achievements, rather than focusing on the external experience.
Yeah. Thank you, sister.
Rather than focusing on the external appearances.
Thank you very much. I am sure that we still can talk about this issue pretty much, because there are a lot of things that come out of it. But then in the end, I would say that this propaganda that's going everywhere, this thing that you see has been advertised everywhere, everybody is talking about it, this baby dolls, this Barbies that are everywhere, these are not the perfect picture of a woman. If they are trying to make these things look so conspicuous, it's because they want to distract you from the main purpose of your humanity, that is to improve yourself, as in being a good person. All the high, you know, the body of a woman has been into a spotlight, while her character, her personality has got no importance right now. That's why we see how different are human beings. So take care of yourself. It's important to be in shape. It's important to go for gym. It's important to have fun for yourself. It's important to devote some time for your own benefit. But then do not get in the trap of these propagandas. That's all. Thank you, Muslim ladies. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
in the limelight. In the United States, data released recently shows Southern Nevada's rates of homelessness spiked to alarming levels, the largest amount counted in a decade, underscoring Nevada's homeless and housing crisis. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Daily Mail has covered this story and tells us more. The iconic Las Vegas Strip has seen a surge in homeless people sleeping on the sidewalks and in makeshift tents as the city grapples with an affordable housing crisis. New images taken by the website of the British Daily, The Daily Mail, shows people curled up in a sidewalk and outside storefronts, with some keeping their minimal belongings in trolleys and encampments. According to statistics from the Southern Nevada Homeless Continuum of Care, at least 6,566 people were counted as homeless in Southern Nevada in late January of this year. Of that group, about 3,780 were living on the streets, outdoors, in vehicles, or in encampments, with another 132 at the Courtyard Resource Center, while 2,654 were in emergency shelter or transitional housing. But as Las Vegas's homeless population grows, the luxury property market in Nevada is also booming. The area's high-end market is experiencing a resurgence as rich Californians, including celebrities, fed up with crime and a new mansion tax, arrive in droves in Nevada, swapping their homes overlooking the Pacific Ocean for views of the Mojave Desert. This year, nearly 17,000 people have surrendered California driving licenses to the Nevada Department of Motor Vehicles. Alexis Michaud, a real estate agent for Las Vegas-based brokers, the Mulling Group, told the Daily Mail, "The mansion tax in California has frustrated a lot of Californians. That, combined with their income tax rate, has caused so many Californians to come to Nevada, a tax-free, business-friendly environment. But there is a flow-on effect, and as home prices climb, it's become more difficult for low-income earners to get into a property ladder. At least 86% of low-income households in Las Vegas were bringing in less than $24,000 per year. The average rent price in downtown Las Vegas can span between $995 for a studio to $2,395 for a two-bedroom apartment, putting pressure on families trying to juggle raising their children." According to the U.S. National Low-Income Housing Coalition, in Clark County alone this year, there is a shortage of 85,000 affordable housing units. While 1,614 people suffered from substance abuse issues, at least 1,887 live with mental health challenges. The data indicated 16,251 people would experience homelessness in the community at some point this year. This is more than double the highest figure ever recorded in Las Vegas, Nevada. That was back in 2015. 7,509 homeless people were counted that year. According to the Nevada Homeless Alliance, a lack of income and an inability to afford rent are cited as leading barriers to obtaining housing in Nevada. The organization says Nevada has the worst shortage among states across the U.S., with 19 affordable units for every extremely low-income household. In Las Vegas, the shortage is even greater, with only 14 available units for every 100 affordable homes needed. The national average is 37. Multiple jurisdictions make up the Las Vegas Valley, the largest being Clark County, which includes the Las Vegas Strip.
Each have their own services and non-profit providers that aim to purportedly help the homeless community. A Clark County spokesperson told the Daily Mail, work is being done to actively help people. The spokesperson claimed Clark County has taken an innovative approach to homelessness through our non-congregate care sites at some local non-Las Vegas strip hotels to get people and families off the streets of Las Vegas with wraparound services to address their needs and reduce the likelihood they will go back to the streets. The spokesperson added, affordable housing is a problem that has led to an increase in non-traditional homelessness, and through Welcome Home, Clark County is investing and incentivizing the building and rehabilitation of affordable housing units for working people, for families, and for seniors who find themselves priced out of the rental or homeownership market. The website of the Nevada Current has also covered the same story and tells us more. Housing instability in the United States can cause educational disparities and leads to poor school performance. While 87% of homeless youth are enrolled in school, only 77% attend school regularly. Students experiencing homelessness achieve lower proficiency in reading and mathematics than their peers. Jace Ratke, public affairs advisor for the city of Las Vegas in Nevada, said efforts are underway to provide solutions. Jace Ratke said, for the city of Las Vegas, the focus is to help those experiencing homelessness to become healthy, housed, and hired. The Courtyard Homeless Resource Center is used to help assist clients in connecting to services that can help them break the cycle of homelessness. Ratke said, the Courtyard is a low-barrier shelter that allows anyone entry and they can bring their belongings and pets in with them. He added, we have caseworkers who work with each client to determine how they can be helped in gaining access to healthcare, to housing, to employment and more. While U.S. officials claim work is underway to help vulnerable people into housing, numbers recorded this year compared to last year show the issue of homelessness is on the rise. Data this year showed a 14% increase from 2022 count, which identified 5,645 people as homeless. It is believed about 1,500 people live in the 600 miles of tunnels and washers across Las Vegas, which caused concern due to recent rising floodwaters. Robert Bankhart, outreach director at Shine a Light, an organization that helps hundreds of people living in the underground flood channels, said, the danger is obviously getting washed away. He told Fox 5 Vegas Channel, the debris, the amount of water, they're not prepared for all of that. Robert Bankhart added, seems like every year one or two people get washed away. Most people, it's the debris that drags them down. Their homes are underground, so they're collected items over time, and then all of a sudden, the water comes rushing through, and then in an instant, it's all gone, and it's all collected in grates and vents, so it's dangerous. Data shows there is around 365,160 people living across Nevada who worry about access to food. Earlier this year, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development claims it assigned nearly $15 million in grants to the Southern Nevada Homeless Continuum of Care. The funds are said to be dispersed over the next 3 years to purportedly address homelessness throughout Southern Nevada. Social service providers have repeatedly warned they have been seeing a steep increase in homelessness among families with children. Legal groups and housing advocates further warned earlier this year that Nevada's housing and homeless crisis will only intensify if the state didn't take adequate measures to keep people housed by expanding eviction and tenant protections.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines for this hour as Israel's war of genocide against Gaza enters its 21st day. Hamas says almost 50 Israeli captives have been killed in the regime's raids. The Hamas chief warns that if Israel's aggression against the Gaza Strip continues, the situation in the entire region will spin out of control. And pro-Palestinian rallies continue across the globe in a show of solidarity with the people of Gaza.